Hi, I'm Susan Clark.
And I'm Chris Marie Campbell.
Welcome to the Beauty of Conflict podcast. Have you ever wanted to take some of what you've learned on the podcast to the next level? Well, check out our new step-by-step, easy-to-use team kit to get your team from avoiding conflict to discovering the beauty in conflict.
To learn more, go to www.thriveinc.com/teamkit. That's www.thriveinc.com/teamkit. Hi, I'm Chris Marie Campbell.
And I'm Susan Clark.
And today we have a very special guest, a friend of ours, Chris Parker, who is a digital executive, business designer, and leadership coach. Originally from Los Angeles, he has lived for over 20 years in Europe and has worked in or traveled to almost 60 countries. He's held the positions of Chief Information Officer for LeasePlan, which is the world's largest leasing fleet provider, Chief Technical Officer for PowerPeeps, which is the world's largest peer-to-peer energy sharing marketplace, and most recently as Chief Platform and Innovation Officer with Destiny, one of Europe's largest business communications providers. He helps leaders and their management teams achieve more with their teams by providing strategic alignment support through Ebullient Business Designers, his own consulting and coaching agency. He has his own podcast, the Business Simplicity Podcast, where he explores how other leaders bring joy and meaning into their work through the pursuit of simplicity.
We swim with the dolphins with him, both cosmically and mystically.
In Cancun. So welcome, Chris. We're excited to have you.
I'm happy to swim with you again on the podcast. So cool. Okay.
Yes, we met Chris in Cancun in June of, 2023? And we had a lovely time. You, Susan, you and Chris had more of a connection. And then the next day, we actually wound up swimming with the dolphins, which was a life dream of mine.
Yes. And what was wonderful was that we were a part of an event with Dr. Joe Dispenza, an advanced retreat, I think is what it's called. And this was our first retreat. And Chris and I ended up beside each other in one of the coherent healing sessions, which we'll tell you maybe a little bit about. We'll talk a bit about Dr. Joe's work. But it was a very powerful experience. I just found you, Chris, so calm and there. And we both had a mystical experience with the dolphins there as well. So and you were signed up. And that's what convinced me. I am going to sign us up to swim with the dolphins the next day. And then we met again with the actual dolphins. So it was a bit magical in how that all worked out. So maybe we could start by talking a little bit about how we each got to Dr. Joe's work. How about that?
Well, adding to the dolphin story, the way I tell it is, we were in this coherence healing session, which in a Dr. Joe advanced week-long, say there's about 2,000 people in a ballroom, which you could consider to be overwhelming, but it's really quite an intimate thing. It's a personal journey. And there's eight people, strangers, surrounded another human, another being on the floor that has some sort of affliction that for the next hour or so, we are simply meditating deeply in a guided way, but wishing that person wholeness, wellness, love. And this was the last day of the whole week, and we were deep in it. And in my mind or in my being, at some point, it felt like there was like this waterfall, the existence filled with love. So I felt like I was swimming around as a dolphin in this ocean of love, and everyone else was there perfectly as their true being. And the Healy in front of us was also swimming and playing and being perfect. And afterwards, it's a thing, it's an emotional thing. And afterwards, there's this lovely person next to me and like, how is that for you? And I was like, I think I felt like I was swimming and the dolphin. And you know, so somehow we had what? And then I mentioned, hey, I'm swimming with dolphins tomorrow. And the part I love about the story is I'm waiting there in line dutifully. And then I tap on the shoulder and turn around, and boom. There you are. And so literally we were able to swim with dolphins physically the next day, which was such a joy.
So I have experienced a lot of chronic pain, like in my early 20s. And so I've been on a journey to heal that. And one of the things I'm doing is a rewiring process. It's called Dynamic Neural Training System. And they recommended Dr. Joe's work, the coach that I was working with, because they are not doing in-person workshops because the population that they do work with is not going to get together physically at this point. And so this was the fall I started reading all of Dr. Joe's books, the Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, You Becoming Supernatural. Those are some of his publications. And then by December, I was like, Susan, you want to try these meditations? Come on, let's try a meditation. So we started downloading his meditations and doing them. on a daily basis, started the morning and the evening meditation. And then March came and I'm like, sign up for a workshop. So there we are. We're coming back from an event. We're in the airport. It's 10 o'clock when they open and we're trying to sign on, nothing. And I have to get on my plane. Susan has a later plane. And so I'm like, okay, surrender. We're not getting into this workshop. So I get on my flight. She's going somewhere else. And I get a text. It's working now. Try it now. And so I'm on the plane, busily trying to sign up. And we both miraculously get into this workshop. And that's when we started doing like the progressive retreat and deepening our knowledge of Dr. Joe's work.
So that is Chris Marie's story about how we got into Dr. Joe's work. And it's not that mine is a little different in the sense that I'm not someone who spends quite as much time getting to perfection. Chris Marie's an Olympic athlete. And when she goes after something, she goes after something. And she has been advancing her world of what could help me be better, a better human. I like the idea of being a better human, but a perfect human, I'm not. So that gets a little exhausting. And sometimes when she gets gung-ho about a new thing, I started to research Dr. Joe. I loved his books, but when I started to think, why is this guy doing meditations with 2,000 people? And why does he need 2,000 people in a room? I really did have some judgments about that. I have to admit, I was, it just seems very egotistical, or what is it about? So what was really cool for me, though, was I signed up because I'm game to try something. And then I realized I was doing it because of Chris Marie. And I was like, I got to do this. I got to do my own work. So I did get into it ahead of time and was very committed to, I'm going to show up fully. And what I loved most was when I finally got in there and realized why he has 2,000 people around. Now, this is my story, but I love this, is that he can actually do really good clinical research, and clinical trials are not easy to come by. And you can actually do clinical trials with 2,000 people in a room, eating the same thing, doing the same thing, meditating. And when I started to understand, I do think some people there are a little bit on the Dr. Joe path, which I'm not as big into, but he didn't strike me as that. He striked very genuinely, you have to do this work for you. You have to figure out how to do it. And when I really got that clarity, I was really excited about it, because I do think this is something that is powerful. I've had my own miraculous healing process from a long time ago, which was probably all the similar things that he was doing. And at that time, it wasn't researched or any of that. So it was neat to be a part of a community where actually that's being researched for people to get, because it seems like people sometimes need to know there's proof and evidence. I'm not one of those people, but some people do need that. And so I'm glad it's getting out there in a solid way.
The fact that they're doing that kind of research with the University of California, San Diego, and physically people are walking out of those week-long workshops. And these are intense. And you know, people say, oh, you're meditating in Cancun. Like, no, I hardly saw the beach. And when I did see the beach, I was walking in meditation, and at some point in that meditation was so intense, I thought I was going to faint. It wasn't completely relaxed. My journey to Dr. Joe started 2 or 3 years ago with some other coaches, and I heard the name, ended up reading a book, Supernatural, so that I was aware of it. And then a coach I had, a bit similar, said, hey, you should consider this. And then when I made the decision, and I think this is manifesting art of attraction or whatever you call that, but as soon as I made the decision that, yeah, I'm interested in this, then I got an email, hey, Dr. Joe's coming to London. And this was, so then I just signed up. I didn't have a clue. So when I got to the Excel Center in London, which is this massive conference center, and there's this ginormous line, I had no idea. I was like, okay, this is not Kansas anymore. And then I'm there alone and I get my little checked in and everything. And the masterful way in which the Encephalon team stages that, it is so professional. It's just so comfortable. About halfway through that first full day, you're thinking, why isn't this like every day? People just here caring for themselves and just a feeling of tolerance, acceptance, love. I'm like, this is marvelous. Now, I thought I had my shit together when I went into Dr. Joe. I'm doing a little refining work here. And oh no, in that week, there's, I guess, what, between 35 and 40 hours of meditation. I broke through some profound somethings in me and realized that most of my significant decisions in life were actually based on really deep fears. Mm-hmm. And in the next, say, 2 months after that, a lot of those decisions I reversed, had some serious conversations at home, informed my CEO that I was leaving. It's just, if I truly love myself and if I'm truly confident that everyone in my life, particularly my boys, that's where a lot of my fear was around, are perfect whole beings and they are on their journey, I don't need to do all this shit. And if I truly love myself, I can't continue down this path. So it's, and then going into to Cancun a year later, I also had total login failure. But being a techie guy, I also took screenshots of everything. And then the next day, because I gave up. The next day, I really want to do this. So I sent them my whole, like, hey guys, this happened. Here's the screenshots. This is what I think happened on your website. Have you considered? And they said, thank you. And we'll get you a ticket. So we'll sign you up. So I was like, yeah. So it was like, okay, a little perseverance helps. And my intention is really to go just as a gift to myself for a week long every year. I would love that. And I wish that for everyone. And I'm considering if I can get, I'm on the waiting list for Basel in November for the Progressive. And so it's also an open invitation that I have a vision of being a Sherpa for some people. So if a group wants to go to Basel, I would love to be part of that cohort. And if people are really interested in what we're talking about, Dr. Joe Dispenza, he has the books, and I'll put the links in my show notes, at least about Supernatural. And also there's a kind of a series on Gaia, the network, called Rewired. And that's a lovely entry-level exposure to Dr. Joe. Because if you go deep too hard, the guy, I would say, do not download the meditations and listen to them, because you will go insane and you'll run away screaming. You gotta go in soft here.
Read the book or listen to this guy.
Because once you go into one of those intense meditations, it's musically intense and it's reverberating and his voice is very different and it's perfect for what it is. And that's my journey.
I love it. I wanted to just, even my own, like, sense the retreat, because now we're a couple of months out from the retreat. And one of the things I recognize, everybody has their own process. Like even in it, I'm like, am I doing it right? And I still do this. Am I doing this right? Am I in the nothingness? But I recognize I cannot compare my journey to yours or Susan's or anybody else in that ballroom, because I'm dealing with my own trauma, my own process, how I've been wired. So it has nothing to do with anybody else. So that whole competition, survival, the fittest sort of thing, the stress reaction can drop away. But I recognize for me and my process, because I grew up with a lot of trauma around alcoholic behavior, is about staying in my body. And he does a lot of meditations that connect you into the body. And then shifting out of those survival focus patterns of rushing or judging or perfectionism. So I just have, it's not like they've all gone away, any of this, but it's turned up my awareness. Mm-hmm. There I am again. So there's a deepening in my kind of getting better into the curious observer or driver's seat to make a different choice. So having a different choice. This is and I do think this is a lifetime journey. It's not like you get there and get done, which again is a survival. Can I get through this? It's more like developing this new relationship with who I am and the divine for me.
I was thinking too, when I initially was listening to some of the work and getting engaged in it, I appreciated something he said about where he differs from just the new age aspect of it, of affirmations and things like that. Because I do think, for me at least, there's a profound place where a lot of my health and wellness turned around through learning different ways of breathing, practicing being more intimate in relationships in terms of showing up real. And that was the transformative piece of my own journey. And what I think his work has done has taken that and even increased that intimacy with myself, where I'm actually being a lot more willing to, okay, this, I'm showing up here and it's not because I want to get wealthy or healthy or any of that. I'm showing up so that I can be in some place of gratitude and awe for what is, which I think is all, there's tons of stuff out there about how you have to live in the now and be in the moment, be positive. But that's all just talk until you really get some sort of felt sense of, oh, being in the moment doesn't mean the moment is rosy. It could be, your word is a great word.
Ebullient.
Ebullient. I'm going to get it.
You know, because it means both the calm and the chaotic kind of. And yeah. I do think that's what a relaxed heart meaning that's something from Dr. Joe, relaxed heart, is and a brain. Awake brain. And that combination is a pretty, it's both calming and it can be exciting. There's a lot going on. And for me, that it's not all good. It just all is. And how I go ride with that is what makes a difference day to day.
I don't think it needs to be all good. And life isn't all good. Meaning to pull in some other work, like with Esther Hicks, if you know that, the whole dimension of contrast. And through living tension, contrast, conflict in life, that also is the great signal for to desire something different. And for me, Dr. Joe really resonates. And sometimes it can be very paradoxical. How can you be relaxed in your heart and relaxed in your body and in that state of grace and state of gratitude while still being very active and awake in your brain and intentional? And that's the work. And that's the work. And yeah, to try to strive to be just a little bit better at that every day, the true gift. Some of the people there, the healees that I have so much respect for, that they've showed up to this event and have presented themselves to the rest of us. But equally, I'm there, I'm doing refining work. I'm not dealing with brain tumors or cancers or some of this just really deep, painful reality stuff. And for me, it was also, wow, you put this stuff in perspective. And for me, I don't know, it's, and maybe you have some advice for me on this, because one of like, when I still do the morning and evening meditations from Dr. Joe. And in the morning meditation, he talks about being intentional about your desired future. And I have a hard time imagining that. And so what I default back to is I would like health. I would like love. I want my loved ones to be safe, prosperity, and abundance. So I tend to go general and life turns out very well. But it seems like I haven't really had the need. I don't want the latest Jaguar or something. That's not why I do this work. I think I do the work just to be content with now and delighted and curious about whatever's next.
I think for me, I know in my other process, my rewiring process, they do say specifics help, but I would think that mine would have been about abundance, but I was one of the healees with my chronic pain. And what I do envision, it's less about healing my pain. It's more about loving myself. So I am run by a critical parent in my head. Oh my God, you're not going to be able to do this. You better figure it out. You got to work hard, like stress. And so versus, wow, feeling so relaxed enough that I feel safe enough to settle in and not run and trust myself. This is my journey to build a loving, open my heart and notice when I'm in that chatter that's scaring me, pushing me, and shift that. So that's more of what I think about. Oh, I'm relaxed. I'm in my body. Because in my fear, I jump out of my body. So I'm in my body, my loving parent. But less, I have to say, I used to be much more specific about my scripting. So I'm saying both things, Chris, that I can relate to both sides of that. Well,
I do think so. What I found is because I know that about you. Mm-hmm. And it's something I've struggled with sometimes is, but I do think what I like is if I let myself drop into the meditation and then I do, it's what bring that future forward. I actually do have intention, like usually before I do, I've done some things about what I want to create. And then in the moment, I'm not bringing it up that literally, but when it comes up, it becomes much more about how I am in it, and it does have some of the frame of what I have said I want. But what I discover is, oh, it's not so much about what I want. It's, am I willing to keep wanting that and assume I'm moving in the direction I want to be going and be okay with the things that happen as I create it? And that's actually what I think this work is really offering, is to pay attention to the reactions that occur in the path, so that I have more choice and openness in them.
I agree with you.
And I think why this is so important, at least in our work and probably yours, is in business, that is something that business leaders are always thinking strategically. How are we going to get there? How are we going to do this? And I do think that strategic planning is important. But what they don't seem to be able to do as well is to notice that their own stresses sometimes get in the way of creating a path that is actually
bringing people along.
Yeah, and I
think my work, and as you introduced me, and for people that are listening, we're publishing this on both podcasts, meaning so this same recording is going to be published twice under two different podcasts, and we're having a lot of fun with that and playing with that. Yeah. The work I do with call it a technical executive, a chief technology officer, or chief information officer. A big part of my work is to create a space for calm, because creativity can only happen when there is that space. So if people are agitated, stressed, driven, the backlogs are just management's doing more, they might get a little bit more productivity, but burnout's going to happen. The best solutions aren't going to be there. People will be optimizing stuff that shouldn't exist in the first place. All these engineering errors will happen. And so a lot of my work, it started shifting in London last year and introducing the concept of love into my work, because traditionally, brilliant business designers, I have this simple business design framework, which is like it's a childlike version of the business model canvas. And I find it's more approachable and allows people to think about their business concept in little primal chunks, and it's easier and less emotional. And what I realized, and it was really triggered, it started going back, I can see in my notes from Dr. Joe from August 2020, was that's the first time lead from love came from. That's the first time I wrote it down. And as I've been unpacking that. And the basic principle is, yes, the transactional business results are very important and valuable and true. And yes, the relational aspects are also true. And equally true, so I don't say more true, I think equally true, the inner journey, the inner guidance, so the emotional guidance system is also true. And what I do when I'm coaching people is I've been keeping my ear out for, this makes me sick, or I'm losing sleep on this, or I'm feeling burned out about this. So if I'm picking up a physical manifestation of angst in someone, then I say, hey, do you want to play a game? And the game is basically, let's take this thing you're wrestling with, which is usually a decision. And last week, it was with an amazing professional executive who was wrestling with whether to leave a toxic work environment. And I said, let's go through this. Let's just play this game. And so from a business result, transactional, financial need perspective of yours, if we look at that only, and we just fully respect and embrace that, what would the answer be? And it would be, get the hell out. Okay, that was the, on a relational basis, if you talk about the different relations outside of yourself with the toxic executives and with the investors and your colleagues and in your ecosystem. And in that one, she was mixed. She was like, I feel like I'm leaving people in a bind, but I don't want to work in this way. And what does your actual intuition say for you? And that was like, yeah, I have a desire because I'm vested in this. I'm one of the co-founders. And so I am. And the fun thing is, if you are able to hold these perspectives in some sort of grace and give them equal respect and care. And I was delighted because before I even finished the process, she came back with, just what I would love to do is I would like to do that and that. And it wasn't something that would have been naturally occurring to her as a path through this. And that's what I call lead from love. And it's not for every situation, but it's something that has emerged from the Dr. Joe work, and I'm still refining it and having a lot of fun with it. And I can see that as a holding the space for someone, giving them from very light structure, can allow a new insight to emerge. And it's just beautiful work.
Yeah. What's exciting on our end is that, as you were describing, that's very consistent with what we talk about when we are talking about finding the beauty of conflict. Then we think of it a little differently. Your areas were intuition, transactional, and relational. Ours, we have a similar thing, but it's the me, intuitional, what's inside of me, the we,
the relational, and the business problem you're trying to solve.
It's same thing.
Yeah. Well, the idea being that in what can seem like a conflict, now you were talking about this angst inside of this executive, that's the internal conflict. But often on a team, we're working with teams, the same thing is going on. There's that conflict. And without paying it, really giving space for all three of these really important aspects, that you don't get to anything creative. And most of the time, our go-to default programming leaves out one or more of these to try to help us manage the stress versus actually get a little more comfortable feeling the stress and allowing those three areas to really bubble up and notice the difference, but also find that very graceful path that emerges. We found it over and over again that's very, you wouldn't have gotten to it any other way. It's very similar. It's amazing.
And it's actually what we call congruent communication. When I am actually sharing what's happening to me, I'm vulnerable, sharing what I really think, feeling, what I'm curious about you. And we're focused in this context of this business problem. And without addressing all three, we suboptimize for that. And like Susan's saying, like I grew up, oh, I don't matter. I'll just focus on you. So we have habits where we eliminate one of these categories. And that's just, we have three, we call them opt-out styles.
And it's
conflict.
It's interesting you call it lead with love, because a lot of this is also based on the work of Virginia Satir, who was a well-renowned humanistic psychologist. And her whole premise about these coping stances that we take is that the only way to get through them is through love, which is actually congruence. And that's the only way to get that. So
it ties into Dr. Joe's work of coherence, like that, what the coherence healing session is. It's basically creating more of that energetic field for that person, the healee, that obviously has some gaps in their energetic system. So you're supporting the healee to create more of a wholeness.
Yeah.
Jumping back into Dr. Joe, one of the images that he shows us that has just burned in my brain was this image of this leaf, right? And they're somehow taking this picture of the energy of a leaf. I'm not sure how they do it. I've seen other pictures of living things and there's this energetic outline. And then if you cut the leaf and you take the cut away part and then you take the picture again, the energetic image is still there. So somehow the energy of that being remains consistent and whole, even though some of part of it's been cut away. And when we were in that last coherence healing of the three that week, when I was going all in, I was there, was present. And what appeared to me somewhere up there, just before the ocean of love collapsed, was the outline of this person. And it was a lady in front of us, this outline of this complete, whole, perfect version of her. And it was when that version came down, if you will, is when the whole cosmic waterfall happened as well. And then we started flipping around and chirping. And it was, and I think that visualization of wholeness is, and it still gives me chills. Okay. 2,000 people in one room being completely selfless, wishing wholeness and wellness and love on others. Like I keep thinking like a random person who just accidentally walked through there, they would be physically, emotionally, and spiritually changed just by the 2 minutes of walking through that space. You cannot be affected by that.
What I love about what you're saying, and I think it does apply, that was a profound experience of just being there with the full intention of being there for somebody else, the healing process and being open to it. And I do think that's where this notion of energy to matter comes into play. Turning, because we are, and that's really what's behind that whole leaf story, is energetically, from an energetic point, we are whole. But when we come into this dimensionality and we bring it down into a more dense form and become matter, we start thinking this matter to matter, we're separated and all sorts of other stuff. And anytime you can get back in touch with the, we are energetic, we have there, and in that space, we're connected, we're whole. And I think this is actually another concept in business that is difficult to get across. But the same is true if we talk to teams about, oftentimes leaders talk about being cohesive and aligned. And we're like, we used to use that word a lot too. But now we actually really like the idea of, it's not about, it doesn't help to be cohesive and aligned if you're actually still thinking you're all operating in silos. It's only useful if you're coherent. And that actually involves getting into that space of energetic and realizing we're all connected and the wholeness of that. And that is, I do think, a place that exists for in any possibility, in whether it's a human to human, in a business setting, all sorts of things. We have that option to go to a place of wholeness versus separation.
And competition.
Yeah.
And when you do work with like Fortune 100 companies like Johnson, Microsoft, Google, you know, AT&T, and you're working with in the conflict space, are you able to bring this energy dimension into those, like beyond this gladiator like conflict that's going on in this boardroom? Do you realize you're actually one? Are you able to have that conversation, or is that way too woo for some of these people?
We don't approach it in the woo state. What we do is we talk about the import, smart and healthy is how we bring it in, or backbone and heart. So as a leader. And then we have people actually share to start to create this container to change the energy of the room versus I'm going to look good to let's connect is we have people introduce themselves in a different way, like my hometown, number of siblings, and a unique childhood challenge. And as soon as they drop, depending on how the leader sets it, they show up. If the leader's modeling it and they go first, you have people that you have executives that are crying at times. And it's not, it doesn't take long. It's like a 20-minute exercise. But if people really drop, it changes the energy in the room, which then changes their brains, which makes them actually more open to hearing from each other. And that's how, and we keep coming back to those moments during, we usually do a 2-day offsite where we're helping them continue to come back to that.
And I do think there's something to, because I know when we first, we've been doing this for 25 years. And when we first were working together, sometimes I was so surprised when someone would say, wow, we've never done anything like this before and any kind of training. And I, in my own world, I'm like, why not? What have you been doing? What is? And it took me a while to realize that I do think there is something about the paths we've each taken that brings some of that energetic experience into the room that is in, we can't describe it, but we can actually tell people, they're like, wait a minute, you two are in an argument right now. And it's going to, and it's, yeah, okay, this is what we do. We do it real time. We're in it. And so I think some of those things happen in those boardrooms, and it doesn't always go well. Sometimes somebody's really, it's usually me, who somebody's really upset with because I've done something that's not the way this works. You're supposed to be. And, but in that moment of realness, that's when they suddenly get, oh, this is something energetic.
You can feel it.
Yeah.
You can't like point it, but you can feel the realness and the immediacy, like right now, right here between you and I. And that's Susan's mastery, to be immediate, no matter what the situation, she's going to show up real, not try to make it look good, not try to convince. And that is very transformational because you get present and that's where change can occur.
And the minute though, it's like someone says to me, we want you to do the same thing with our other people because they need this. And it's actually, you're making it about us, which is okay. We'll come in and work with you. But it's also, you got to get, it's not really us. It's how we have shown up in this real space and time. And you can start showing up more like that too.
And inviting you in.
And that I think is what people start to have an actual experience of. And they're like, we want more of this.
And they want to have it on a daily basis. It's like our meditation. They want that realness and connection and
good business results.
And of course they want business. Yeah. Because their business results are also important. Is the connection, the business. My belief is, at least my experience, is the more that I'm able to connect with my energy, my humanity, therefore I'm able to see beyond the masks and the behavior and the dysfunctions of the dense matter in front of me and just look through all that. And sometimes it's just a look of appreciation. It's reset someone completely.
Yep.
They're coming in and you just look at them like, I love you. I don't know. Okay. I know you're pissed, but I still love you. And what do you do with that? It's just a different energy. You're instantly on a different space. And the coach who introduced me to Dr. Joe's is also very an energy related guy. And he does a lot of work through McKinsey and does groups like that. And recently he was going in presenting something to a group that was going to be acquired or somehow they were going to be impacted greatly. And just on the cuff, say there's a room full of executives and he just started his thing with, you're loved. The whole thing shifted. Just the whole dynamic, just a ripple went through it. Because what is an unexpected thing? Like you're about to come in and you have this workshop about how you're going to lose your job. And then, hey, the starting position is your love. Mm-hmm. And wow, why not?
Yeah. That's really what we're all seeking, is that sense of love, belonging, wholeness.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I do think that idea that, hey, you're loved, that's because it's such an unexpected thing to even assume you're going to get. I also think sometimes being in conflict is actually okay. Being hot, being heated, being in this weird where, oh no, it's dangerous. And if someone can sit in that and realize, really, is it dangerous right now? Let's check in, because it may not be. Find out whether this is just energy, because conflict is just energy too. It's the same energy as love, really. But what we do with it, the way we react and shut ourselves down and do stuff because we don't like it, that's what makes it difficult. Mm. And that's actually something that I think is also equally valuable to surprise people. It's,
I think almost conflict is mandatory, but I am looking at the time.
I have another
call. A hard stop. Okay. I think we need to start wrapping it up. And I think last comment, because I can't resist it, is the whole concept of forming, storming, norming, and performing, which I'm sure most people have heard of. But for a group of people, even a relationship, friends, if you go on holiday, you need to go through some storming in order to understand the different expectations and desires and priorities and ways of working and ways of talking, because there's no way you and other people are going to have all that squared away. But you can't get to the norming, so that making the agreements, we're going left for today and we're going to go right for tomorrow, and that's okay. I think the worst case is if you don't storm and you keep that all pent up and you get all frustrated and start behaving awkwardly. I think that's the least loving thing that you can do to yourself. In wrapping up, I would like to point out, for those on mine, we'll be looking at the video, but there's a series of books behind Chris Marie and Susan. And it's a book called The Beauty of Conflict. And you can get that on Amazon, I know. And on their website, there's at thriveinc.com/something. I know you can download the audio version of the first three chapters. So what is the URL for the...
Oh, gosh, you're putting me on the spot here, Chris. I think it's resources/. But if you go to just thriveinc.com, there is a get free... I think there's a link there that... Okay.
And I know you can download the first three chapters there, and you can find out a lot more about them. And for myself, you can find me at ebullient.com, and I do business design workshops primarily with management teams, looking at aligning the different functions and parts of the business and doing that through a very interactive and engaging workshop approach. Chris Marie, Susan, thank you so much. And again, we're playing with this. This is going to be published on both our podcasts, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
I love it.
And maybe have another dolphin swim sometime.
Chris, we've so enjoyed having you on our podcast, and we can for sure carry on this conversation deeper, and because there's so many neat connecting points. And for those of you that want to find Chris, why don't you tell them the website and spell it out, because it is such a fancy name.
Ebullient.com and ebullient.com, Ebullient.
Excellent.
And that will be in the show notes.
Absolutely.
So you'll be able to find him.
Yes.
Hope you enjoyed this episode. Susan here. As a coach, a lot of my time is spent helping clients speak up in a direct and honest way in their relationships at home and at work. Chris Marie and I decided to create a speak up kit to help you do that for yourself. It's the best of our best work that we've gathered to help you. To learn more, go to thriveinc.com/speak up. That's www.thriveinc.com/speak up.